Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. Joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. He has not been on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline before, and he has a Hall of Fame career. And Bert Blylevin, this is your first time stepping up on that hotline, am I correct?
It's an honor. An honor, Mike. Believe me. Listen, did I hear that young lady say that the temperature is going to get up to 68?
We're not kidding.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's opening day. Let's
opening
go.
Day. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Did you like pitching?
Awesome.
You know, a lot of pitchers like pitching in cold weather. Did you?
I didn't mind it. You know, I mean, a lot of the hitters didn't want to hit in cold
exactly.
weather. So it's kind of to our advantage if you could pitch them hard inside and make them, you know, make them feel that little vibration. But, no, I didn't mind it. I pitched at the old Met. You know, I mean, Calvin would have us pitch if it was snowing outside. He didn't care. He wanted the attendance.
And nine innings was the norm.
Well, yeah, it's a different game, Mikey.
It's a different game. Now were you the opening day starter in Pittsburgh?
Yes, I was. I think 1 year.
Who else? Was Candelaria on that staff or not yet?
Yeah, John Candelaria. We had a great staff. Jim Rooker, Bruce Keeson, Don Robinson. we had a very good pitching staff.
I remember the Candyman ended up with the Twins for a short stint, you know, at the end of his career.
Yes, he did.
But
in his
prime, he was something, wasn't he?
Oh, he was nasty. He kind of threw like Chris Sale and maybe a little bit of Randy Johnson. You know, big, tall left-hander. I mean, Candy was 6'7". You know, he'd throw from the side. He was that nasty slider. He was tough.
Yeah. I was asking this question today to Jim Cott because he was with him in Cincinnati. I think he was a coach at the time. But I'd watched a documentary recently of Dave Parker. And Dave's got some health issues that he's fighting right now, et cetera. How good was Dave Parker in his prime?
I'll tell you what. I know he's battling cancer. I mean, Parkinson's my dad did for 20-some years. Yeah. And, you know, my heart goes out to Dave. But what a strong individual that Dave was. I had the opportunity and the honor of playing with him for 3 years with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And a guy that has Hall of Fame numbers, and hopefully one day his name will be called, you know, before hopefully not too long.
Yeah. I mean, he did the work, and boy, back in the day, he was something.
I think he had over 2,700 hits too.
Did he hit that many?
Yeah, I believe so. If you look it up, yeah, with power, had a great arm out in right field, great defensive player, and a leader. Really, him and Willie Stargell were the leaders of the ball club when we won a World Series in 79.
We are family, absolutely. Bert Blylevin is our guest. Before we get to the Twins this year in Major League Baseball, when Jim Cott and Tony Oliva go into the Hall of Fame, I was having this conversation with somebody else before, what is it that they will feel that you didn't anticipate when you get out there and they put your bronze statue up there?
I think, you know, the biggest thing, Mike, is that you realize that you are in a very elite fraternity that not too many players get the opportunity to be part of. You know, Tony Oliva, long overdue. Jim Cott, to me, long overdue, as Minnie Minoso was, and Gil Hodges, and, you know, Buck O'Neill, you know, David Ortiz going in, and then also Bud Fowler, who was actually the first black player to play with an all-white team back in like 1878.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so baseball's done a good job of recognizing, I think, you know, the African-American and and what they've done over the years for contributions toward Major League Baseball in the future.
Yeah, for sure. Now the Twins are in this, everybody's in this frenzy right now where they're trying to figure out how to get their roster together. I'm looking at the construction of the roster. And Bert, I know you can go get a Sonny Gray, and I get that, but it sure looks short on starting pitching right now. How does it look to you?
Well, you know what? I've had the opportunity. Today was my first day working with Wes Johnson and pitching staff. And I got to watch Joe Ryan pitch today on the side. Very impressive.
Were you?
Young man has a good idea of what he's doing out there. Sonny Gray, I've not really watched him, but over the years I have. The man can pitch. I think the biggest thing is Ober is also going to be, I think, a big part of that starting rotation. So it's just going to come down to a short period of time, only maybe 3 weeks, for these guys to hopefully pitch, five, six innings to get ready for opening day. Talking to Joe Ryan today, I said, we expect a lot out of you. You know that, young man. And he said, yes, sir. And he's a good young man, and hopefully he can stay healthy. That's a big key.
Now, when you get a chance to be with a Joe Ryan, and obviously short in spring training, what's the best piece of advice that you can give a kid like that as you watch him? You go, okay, he's got the stuff. What does Bert offer him?
Offer control of the fastball, Mike. Yeah. Everything keys off the fastball. No matter, I'm working with also some, Wes Johnson lets me work with some kids down in AAA, and it's all off the fastball. You can have a good breaking ball, say like my curveball, but you got to be able to get ahead with a fastball. Get strike one. If you miss, get back to 1-1. Try to keep the pitch count down so you can get into the seventh, eighth, ninth inning at times. I don't like that 100 pitch count, and never will, just don't like that.
Yeah.
But when you see young kids like Joe Ryan that has the explosive type fastball, he shows very good control at an early time in spring training. So I'm looking forward to watching him pitch throughout the year.
Bert Blylevin, I guess. Bert, did you start with the curve very often, or was it all based on scouting reports and the hitter?
We didn't have the scouting reports they had back then. You kind of read off, what the game situation was. If you got a 6-0 lead, you're going to pitch completely different if it's a nothing-nothing ball game, Mike. So, you just have to take each inning at a time, each hitter at a time, and hopefully get that first leading lady, as they say, out so you can, hopefully have a quick inning.
Now the Twins have backed up, they've got some bullpen people, and Rogers was hurt some last year, et cetera, et cetera. Do you put a premium right now on a great bullpen, and do you see the Twins have some pieces there?
I think you have to because in today's game, a starter in today's game, if you give me 6 good innings, you're going to turn it over to 3 innings to Duffy and hopefully Tyler, Rogers can close it off. Taylor Rogers, not his brother, but brother.
The brother's pretty good, too. Take him, too, if he wants to come over.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he only had, 30-some saves last year for the Giants.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's a different game today. So you just have to hope that your starters get deep enough to where, you get the right guys in the right situation, depending on who you're playing. And again, the scoreboard has a lot to dictate exactly what you're trying to accomplish at the end of the game, and hopefully it's a Twins victory.
Sanchez, they signed or they trade for from the New York Yankees. You saw him catch a lot. Obviously, he's got some pop in his bat, etc. But give me an assessment of him as a catcher and a total player. What'd they get here?
I watched him today, and they're really working with him as far as setting up, trying to get a good glove for that pitcher. That as a pitcher, you try to throw the ball through the glove. And I think, he actually caught Joe Ryan in the bullpen today as I was watching. He did a good job of handling him. So it's just, just basically trusting what you're doing back there, that you can keep the ball in front of you and frame that ball nicely to give that home plate umpire a good look at that pitch, whether it be a little bit off the corner or on the corner.
What did Bert Blylevin try to get out of spring training? What was the most important thing that you got out of it?
Control of my fastball.
That
was it. I wasn't worried about my curveball. Arm strength, I ran a lot. I've already talked to a lot of the kids about conditioning. That was a big part in me. I always looked at my lower part of my body was my foundation. My arm was nothing more than a whip. And it's just a matter of just realizing that your foundation needs to get you deep into the ballgame for the starters, for the Twins. You have to run. You have to get conditioned to the best of your ability to be the best shape of your life to be able to compete at such a high level. You know, to pitch 200 innings in today's game, it's like, my goodness, that's the kind of the, you know, where do you want to be? I mean, if we didn't have 200 innings by August, we're going to have a bad year.
Yeah.
So the game has changed that way, Mike.
Now, as I have looked at, I guess I've probably got the baseball cards to back this up, but did you not have a time in spring training when the rotation, when you were young, where it was you, Jim Cott, Jim Perry, and Louis Tiant? And maybe Dave Boswell, too?
Well, when I got called up in 1970, it was Louis Tiant, Dave Boswell that got hurt that allowed me to come up at 19 years old, along with Jim Cott and Jim Perry. Jim Perry, 1970, won the Cy Young when he went.
Those are some real arms you're talking about there, man, across the board.
I tell you what, as a youngster that I was at that time, I look back and say, you know, I really learned a lot from watching these guys. They gave me the baton. You know, they gave me that, and then throughout my career, hopefully I had that baton and I could pass it on. And now having the opportunity in spring training, I still have that baton. I want to give it to these young kids to realize that, you know, you can be better maybe than you think you are. It's just a power of positive thinking and going out and just doing what you, maybe the good Lord gave you the ability to do is throw a baseball.
What was Tiant like? Well, I remember him as the Red Sox and the glove shaking. What was he like?
He was outstanding. He was so loose. And, you know, in 1970, I believe that's the only year I played with him. And every time I saw Louie, and I still see him today, he comes down to Fort Myers where I live, and I'll see him from time to time, and he'll say, "You took my job." I said, "Well, maybe you gave me your job back then, but I think you did pretty good with the Boston Red Sox." He had a great career, really kind of a Hall of Fame career. I think 46 shutouts, won almost 250 ball games. He was a great pitcher.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember watching like a replay of a World Series game he was pitching, and they were ahead like, say, 6-2 in the sixth inning. The other team scored two runs, so 6-4. Not even a thought of bringing it, taking him out. You know, it was like, he'll pitch through this, he'll get through it. Right away, your first thought was, who's coming in from the bullpen? They let you pitch through some situations, didn't they?
No, that's how you made yourself a better pitcher, by pitching out of those situations. Never look back into, you know, if you get deep into the ballgame, don't look at a bullpen. I mean, you're giving your manager that opportunity. You know, I know Tom Kelly has told me before, he hated come out and talk to me. Because I was drooling at the mouth saying, "Leave me alone, I'm okay. What are you doing out here? You know, go back and sit down and relax, watch the game." But, you know, that's the way it was back then. It's a little different now.
For sure. Last question. Now, you're instructing. Is Rod Carew down there yet? Or
I believe he's on his way along with Tony Oliva.
Yep.
And I think Michael Kadire is going to join us. I think LaTroy Hawkins. So what's nice about, and I thank the Minnesota Twins for giving the opportunity to be part of their spring training, and I think Rod and Tony, I can speak for them. It's nice to be around these young kids that have so much desire and ability, and you just, as veterans, we try to put our little 2 cents in to hopefully make them a little bit better to get them to that level of hopefully getting into postseason.
And by the way, you guys have a lot of fun while you do that as well. I mean, the banter goes right back to the dugout with you and Rod Kadire and those guys, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I won't share any of it, but it's good banter.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know, Rod hit 1,000 off me, and he's 0-for-20 in my mind off of it.
Bert, appreciate it very much. I'll be down there next week. Look, you're going to be instructed next week?
Yes, I will. I'll be here all the way through till April 5th. I appreciate that, Mikey. Thank you.
Awesome. I'll see you down there, but thank you so much. Always fun to visit with you.
Looking forward to seeing you. Hey, and believe me, we're so happy that baseball's back.
Oh.
And, you know, baseball fans out there, hopefully the Twins could be very consistent this year. That's what we're pulling for.
For sure. Bert Blyleven, the Hall of Famer, nice enough to join us on Sports to the Max on News Talk 830 WCCO. Who would I go after if I was the Minnesota Twins right now? I'll tell you when we come back. The name of the game is to get a truck that you can be proud of. Now, you say, well, how do I get a truck that I can be proud of? You create your own truck. That's how. You say, what are you talking about, Max? You need to create your own truck. You can do that. The Ram Truck Month at Dodger Burnsville is on. So instead of going to some other dealer and picking through the leftovers, you can, now, ready for this? Custom build the truck of your dreams at the King of Ram. I said that. Choose your own trim, color, equipment, and tech. Personally customize your new truck exactly the way you want it. Right now during Ram Truck Month, lease a 2022 Ram 1500 Bighorn Quad Cab for only $449 a month. Are you kidding me? Or lease a 2022 Ram 1500 Laramie Crew Cab for $499 a month. You got to be kidding me. Need service? Get into the express lane at Dodger Burnsville. Service manager Mike Neeson and his crew will take care of you, get you in and out, and do it quickly. Nobody moves more Ram trucks than Dodger Burnsville. That's why they are the king of Ram. So get out there and custom build the truck of your dreams at Dodger Burnsville right off of 35W and Cliff Road in Burnsville. Or always online at kingofram.com. They honored him a few weeks ago at the Timberwolves game against Houston. And people said, ooh, no, they weren't booing. It was poo for Pooh Richardson. He joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline as we talk Timberwolves basketball. What was it like for you? You've been back several times, but to be honored at halftime, Pooh, it was kind of fun to see you out there.
Oh, man, it was great to be there for sure, man. It brings back some really good memories. It was fun. I had a chance to catch up with some old friends and talk a little, man. It was really great. I love it.
Who was your favorite teammate that you played with in that first year?
Oh, man. I think I had a few. Doug West.
Yeah.
Which, because we came in together.
Yep. And, you're the second round pick. You're the first round pick. Yep.
And I enjoyed being around Tony Campbell, and I also enjoyed being around Sam Mitchell.
Yeah. So was Sam a leader on that team right away, or not necessarily?
Well, not necessarily, but you know, he worked his way into that because you know we had Tyrone Corbin as well, who was a veteran in the league, has some stints with the Phoenix Suns at the time. So he was pretty much the guy who kind of had more experience than everyone on the team.
Sidney Lowe was on that team too. You were the first round pick that people paid to see, as they say. But you two seemed to have a pretty good relationship.
Yeah, Sid was really good. Sid, he's a coach that's wearing a jersey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's just a coach who wore a jersey. You know those guys who just know the game inside out. But, may not have the athletic ability to do some things, but know the game. So that was it. He knew the game.
Did you think about going into coaching? You've done a lot of instruction and work with. Did you ever think about riding that NBA carousel as a coach?
No. I always like to deal with people. I don't think when you're coaching, you don't get a chance to deal with the fans hands-on. And as I've been looking at the NBA, the way it's structured now, you hardly have any fan participation or player participation with the fans. No interaction. I don't know if it's the new social media, phones, computers. I don't know what it is, but guys just don't take the time to indulge with the fans, and that's what I love. I'm more or less like a PR person. I love to be around the fans and talk about the organization and what's the upcoming plan and stuff like that, where people get a chance to kind of know you.
For sure. Pooh Richardson is our guest. Karl Anthony Towns scored 60 last night. You've watched this young man for a long time now. You've been out here. You've watched his games on TV. You've got to know him. What do you see? What's different about him this year than years past?
I just think that the leadership quality. The fact of the matter, he's taking on responsibility and accountability to go out and be the guy every night. He's not going to have 60 every night, but he will give you that effort trying to get that. you know, whatever he has to do to win. And that's one thing that, you know, that young man is special. And not only because he's a special basketball player, he's just a special kid. And he loves the game. He loves Minnesota. And he's just a good kid. I had a chance to really spend some time with him when I was there last time. And he really loves being there.
Well, you know, what is it, Pooh, where a guy, you know, he kind of hits a button like this year where he goes, okay, I've accepted the fact that I am the star of this team and I want the ball all the time. We'd seen that in spurts before, but never consistently like we have this year. What do you think, what clicked with him where it's like a realization that this team goes where I go? That it looks like he accepted that responsibility. What happens when a guy gets there? How does he get there?
Well, you normally get there with the trust of the organization, the trust of the coaching staff, and the trust of your teammates. When your teammates are saying, hey, you know, this is what we need from you. When the organization and the coaching staff say, this is what we need from you. If you don't do this, there's no way we can even have a chance to do what we're trying to accomplish. And normally that makes a guy work harder and also gives him that love, you know, that comfort level, that know that he got people around him that supports him on the good days and on the bad days. So you're going to have more good days than bad. And I think he's feeling that wave right now where he's honed in. The city engulfed him, put their arms around him. And I think that he feels the love. And he goes out every night proving it.
D'Angelo Russell's a point guard. You're a point guard. And he's been pretty good this year. He misses some games here and there. But he is pretty talented. Can you explain him to me? Some nights I'm going, I don't understand how he gets open when he doesn't look, you know, like he's all that quick or fast, but he finds ways that, and all of a sudden he's got open looks. Who is D'Angelo Russell, and how do you rank his game?
Oh, well, I love his game. I had the chance to watch him play in the early years in the AAU when he's playing against my son. He played
really? You remember that?
Team out of Florida. Yeah, he played for the team out of Florida called Each One Teach One. Which I think Doc Rivers had something to do with that team a lot. Him and the kid, Joe Barry, was in the backcourt. First of all, I think he's a legitimate, 6'6", maybe?
Yeah, 6'5", see there on there, yeah. 6'6".
Yeah, so he's about that. He also left-handed, what I thought that every time a left-hander has an ability to have an advantage, because you don't see too many of them, and the fact that he's crafty around the basket. And he just one of those guys where you say, you know, I'm gonna give him the shot and put my hand up, then he just makes the shot.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, and then at the end of it, he has 20 points, 14 assists, and 8 rebounds. And you're like, wow, this guy like had a great game, and you just don't see it because it's just so it's not loud. It's only loud when he goes on a 4, 5, 6 bucket score.
Yeah.
Makes it loud. But normally he picks and chooses. I think he do a great job at picking and choosing when to score and when to pass.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. He's not loud the way he does it, but he does it. Anthony Edwards, maybe for the first time this year, maybe last year some, he found that, you know, the NBA is a tough league when you're scouted and you can't just go to the basket when you want. Obviously he's a great player, but what adjustments does a kid like that have to make when he gets to that point where he goes, oh my God, they've figured some things out about me and I can't just go when I want to go?
Well, the key is always going to be the jump shot. I don't care what you do, who scouts you, and whoever does whatever, it doesn't matter. If you can shoot the ball from the three and two point to the mid-range with his athleticism, it's going to open up everything. Then the game's going to get way easier for him. So scouting, what makes special players, and he is one, and he has the potential to be an all-star, but what makes players is not you're being scouted against. You know, all the great players have been scouted against and still able to go out and do what they're supposed to do or go out and have success being as the number one person being scouted and you still get it done. One of the key things is you have to have fundamental strengths. And one of them is being able to shoot the basketball consistently, especially with his athleticism will allow him to get to the basket at will if he's able to hit that mid-range to three-point shot.
Do you think he can right now or is he still a work in progress?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I don't think the confidence of shooting jump shots is something that, you know, you can get during the year but you can get better at it. And we all watch Dwayne Wade do the same thing because he reminds me so much of Dwayne Wade. You watch guys get better at it as time go on because, you know, these athletes on this level is tremendous. And they're doing it at 6'10", 6'11".
That's right, they are. Now, you're out there in L.A. and the Lakers are in town here tomorrow. What the heck has happened with the Lakers? The names look the same, but the results don't. What are we seeing out there?
Well, based on watching and observing from afar, it looks like, you know, honestly, it looks like that the locker room has been lost by the coach.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like that there's the effort is I would say at best minimum. I don't see the excitement about playing. You know, it just when you play this game, you got to play it with passion. You got to be excited about going out every night. You know, and that's one of the things I always had we had debates, me and a few friends who've been around this game. You know, when these guys start talking about load management, which yeah. I never understood that because I used to be in trouble for wanting to play too much.
Uh-huh.
I used to be in trouble because I didn't want to come out the game. I was called selfish and didn't want to, you know, whatever. I loved the game so much. I wanted to be out there every second I could because I'd have made sure I was in shape enough to play a full game, a full year, 82 games, and give me all the minutes that you can possibly give me. Now they have load management and all these other things, and I think it really takes the zest out of guys' hunger to go out there and play.
Yeah, they're almost thinking about it too much, aren't they?
I think so. Yeah. I just think that, you know, but man, I look at this, man, you know, and I'm sure everybody has different opinion. I don't need load management when I'm at the peak of a profession that I always dreamed to be a part of.
Yeah.
I want every second, every minute that I can possibly receive.
Yeah, that's
just me, and I think the guys I played against, they felt the same way.
Yeah. Now you obviously played for a lot of different coaches, including Musselman, but Billy McKinney was the general manager when you were here. The last time I saw, is he like a mayor somewhere out in Michigan or something?
I heard he was. I haven't talked to Billy in a while. I'm sure he's doing a great job, but you know that's something I wouldn't want. You know, to be a politician is tough, man.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They say I have those skills, but I don't know about that.
But Billy, you know, he would have jumped right in. How are things in L.A. right now overall? Does it feel good? You know, we've kind of opened up a little bit here in Minnesota with the mask mandate and stuff. How does it feel in L.A. right now?
The mask mandate here has been lifted, but you know it's been lifted for a while. You know, different counties, we are broken down in different counties, and different counties have different rules. LA County a little bit more strict because you have more people. I live in the Palm Springs area,
yeah.
Which is like the area of Bermuda Dunes, which is Riverside County, and we don't have much of a mandate because we have more space.
Sure.
Is more rural, is, you know, more golf courses and stuff like that, and you're not really in the city environment.
Yeah, how do they keep those courses so green in the desert?
Plenty of water, man.
They find it, huh?
Plenty of water, man.
Well, Pooh, we appreciate it very much. Good to see you when you were in town a couple of weeks ago, and I look forward to seeing you again, hopefully, maybe in the playoffs, huh?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. And I've been, you know, talking to the organization, so I'm gonna be coming back out again, and you know, checking things out. Hopefully, I'll catch a summer training camp and whatever the guys play. I don't know if they're gonna play in this up in Vegas, or I think they have it in Utah still, or something like that. I don't know. I'm gonna check the guys out throughout the summer and you know, stick my head in there.
Sounds good. Hey, Pooh, thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you again soon, but thanks for giving us some time and insight.
Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate you guys, man. Go Wolves.
You bet. Pooh Richardson, always a fun visit. He played the game for a long time. It was different then. It was different back when they started here, and he was the first round pick of the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's hard to explain unless you lived it. I'll try to explain when we come back. This is Sports to the Max in WCCO. Vanderbilt about to close out Belmont in the NIT first round. In OT, 82-71. Oklahoma beat Missouri State. Lucas Patterson's son plays, Brooklyn Center kid. Lakai plays for that for the Missouri State team. Obviously, the big brackets start on, the play-in games tomorrow, but Thursday. It all starts for real. I like Wisconsin to go a little ways. I think they got a little something-something. Big Ten had three players, first-team All-American by the Associated Press. Davis, Murray, and Cockburn from Illinois. That's an unbelievable number. I guess I haven't watched a lot of the other basketball conferences, and really don't, because college basketball has lost a lot of its zest except for the brackets. I think people get excited a little bit during the conference tournaments because it leads into the NCAA tournament, but it's not what it once was, for sure, and I know that because I look at the ratings that we get at Channel 4. But also because you're seeing now more regionals played at 18,000 seats arena, when it used to be a must that you played at the big stadiums. This is the one place that some of the greatest basketball memories in the world have occurred, in Minnesota basketball, were at the Metrodome. Think about that. You don't think about that, do you? The Williams Arena, Target Center, etc. At the Metrodome was the first year of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it was on fire. They set the NBA attendance record. People were there. It was chic. They had the expansion draft. They got Rick Mahorn, remember? He said, I'm not playing with them. Then they went and beat Philadelphia in the first round. I remember being out there and interviewing Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. And I mean, they all came through town. Charles Barkley. It was something. It was a showstopper out there. And then the way the Metrodome facilitated the NCAA, not just the Final Fours, but what I liked better were the regions, when you get eight teams there, the opening round. I thought that it was the best. Like this week, if you got eight teams at your site, the first year they had that, I think it was 86, maybe 87. I was an intern or thereabouts. And to see USC and Notre Dame and North Carolina State with Jim Valvano as the head coach. Cleveland State, I believe, was here at the time. There were some upsets in there too. I'd have to look back. Iowa was here, but B.J. Armstrong, you know, he was on that team. I remember him, and I remember Jim Valvano on the sidelines, and he had Charles Shackelford, and he's just screaming at him, Shaq, 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 you've got to do this. You've got to get your body behind him, and you sense that had been the kind of the tutoring or the tutorial throughout the year. But Valvano was such, he'd won the NCAA a few years prior, of course, and it was really cool. And of all the events that I've had a chance to cover in this state, I guess, not just me, and for many of you that you attended, I guess I don't think of it as kind of a separate category, but basketball at the Metrodome, and i.e. you could slash and say U.S. Bank Stadium with the Final Four a few years ago as well, because it's the same general feel, really some fun times and some fun moments and some fun get-togethers. But that first year that they came in here, and all these cities and these campuses, that, you know, whoever you were from showed up. You know, NC State, the Notre Dame, Michigan was here with the judge and the general. All those people and the coaches and all that was as good as it gets, man. That was some real deal basketball back then, and it was kind of our reintroduction into the great game that it is. When we come back, how would you like this? How would you feel if you're the head coach of a college baseball team and you're going down to play in a tournament in Arizona? Except that they cancel the flight on you. You got 31 guys, and now that by the time they rebook you, the tournament's going to be halfway over, so you got to cancel your trip. How would you feel? What would you do? We'll ask a guy that happened to. Coaches an area college team when we come back on Sports to the Max.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.